The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah!
Out of the backfield, exploding down the sideline.
This is Hanging with the Boys, presented by Wingstop, where flavor gets its wings.
Now, your hosts, Nate Newton, Kurt Daniels, Jesse Holly, and Shannon Gross.
It is Thursday. It's like post hump day of the week.
Post hump day.
It's a live look at the Tostitos Championship Plaza outside of the Ford Center, where the temperature right now is currently 63 degrees, high of 67, low of 53. It was a little misty out there this morning that we've moved from the tip of the tree. You see the decorations being put all out there. Again,
big
nobody
Christmas
does.
Big show.
The
Spicks
is coming. When is it? What is, November?
Tomorrow is
tomorrow.
The first one.
Oh, it's really tomorrow? Wow.
What,
yes.
About Christmas?
The Spectacular.
The
they started it earlier this year, didn't they?
Christmas Extravaganza. It's on that sign right there.
So this is kind of like the 30 days before Christmas of My True Love Came to Me?
I guess.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, it's more like 45 or something like that.
Yeah, 45 days of Christmas.
Wow. The Dallas Cowboys get ready to take on the Carolina Panthers this I missed everything.
Come on now.
I'm not going to lie to
y'all. That ain't you, man. That ain't you, Jeff. What's wrong?
You did throw me off. That is Kurt. He is Nate. I am Zaddy Holly. In the back is Chris Bean. We do not have Shannon today. He got another wild hair up his butt and took off somewhere. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But together we make Hanging with the Boys. The Sports Talk comes from the Braille. People
feel these Cowboys when they run over folks.
He speaks. Each and every day, our segment, our show, is brought to you by Wingstop, where flavor gets its
wings. Cook's going to catch for 195,000 yards this week.
Cowboys get ready to take on the Carolina Panthers. They're practicing. Keep our fingers crossed now. It's Thursday. They're practicing. They're running around outside. We know on Thursdays things
don't
go well for the Cowboys practice.
Yeah, get the hot towel out.
Let's keep our fingers crossed that everything goes well today at practice. Take on the Carolina Panthers this Sunday, 12 noon. I like noon games. Don't know about you guys. I love me a good noon game.
I love a good noon game, man. Get home early.
Get it in, get it out.
Let me tell you something. It's not – and I didn't too much like them when I first came to the Cowboys because they like, hey, noon games, you know, you're not winners. You're not the previous years. You haven't proven to be a winner, so they're not going to put you on at 12. That was the punishment. You know, you had to earn the right to be on Monday night, the new Thursday night thing. Now, you know, everybody gets to be on it regardless because the other owners are mad because only four teams was getting on. You know what I'm saying? But I'm telling you something, man. I love them new. I'm with you, Jess. And you get through at 3, you be home by 5, you be in the local whatever.
I don't know.
By 7:30.
I'll be in the local house.
Not me. I used to be in the local whatever, the local speakeasy, baby.
Man, I'm looking at your 1989 schedule. You had 11 games at noon.
That will tell you how sorry we were.
11 games.
We were sorry.
And they had how many games?
Us in Detroit used to be battling.
16. They were.
Us in Detroit used to be battling for them 12 o'clock prime time. Game of the sorry week. The Cowboys versus Detroit.
12 of them were noon.
We were bad, man. Only thing we had going for us was the Thanksgiving game. They probably threw that at 12, too.
If they could, they probably would.
Yeah.
Wow. Talk a little bit about the Panthers offense.
Yes, sir.
The Cowboys defense. What side of the ball do you guys want to start on?
Is there anything to talk about the Panthers offense?
Yes, it is. They got some players now.
A little bit.
All right, tell me who those are.
And I'm going to ask Jess, too. I'm just going to conversate with Jess here for a minute, Kurt.
All right, I'll take a nap over here.
And just I want you to give me an A, B, or C grade on the player as I ask you offensively.
Okay.
You know, starting with Chuba.
Chuba Hubbard?
Give me your grade on it. Oklahoma State kid.
Oklahoma State kid. You know, they signed Miles Sanders in the offseason to a nice little deal, and he was supposed to be the guy. But Chuber has been kind of the workhorse for them lately. I'll give him a C.
Okay.
He's a tough runner. Like he's a tough, hard nosed runner. You're gonna have to bring the force to bring him down.
Miles Sanders, since you brought him up, what's your grade on him?
Because
he's a free agent. What, 3 years, 4 years, $25 million?
Yeah.
And what's your grade on how you feel about?
Yeah,
him?
I mean, I'll give him a C- because you were brought in to be the guy.
Yes,
you were brought in from Philadelphia to be the guy, and you haven't done that for this football team, and we'll get more into that when you talk about Bryce Young, because you know he's young, he's a rookie.
Right.
I personally don't think they surrounded Bryce with enough.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you can see the effects of it in the way that he plays. His game is hurried. We'll get more into that.
But what about give me your take on Adam Thielen? He's got 68 catches, well over 500 yards, right?
Yeah, Adam's a first down machine, but he's long in the tooth. Really good route runner.
Is he the one guy that worries you?
I wouldn't say worry, right? Because he can run routes. He can get open. But there's nothing explosive about Adam Thielen. He beats you with the slow man type situation.
Right.
Sometimes as an athlete, you're ready to jump the gun for a fast athlete and be twitchy and all that. And he Jason Witten's you a little bit. He just slow mans you to death. And you think you got him, and then he's
Stop.
You think you got him, and he's like, you ain't got to use wit like that, man. And he's open. He slow mans you to death.
Okay, DJ Chalk, who's supposed to be that guy now. He's supposed to be that guy.
He ain't.
He was supposed to be.
You and Church the same way Church look like.
He ain't. Church was with him in Jacksonville.
He like, man, he say one game he'll flash, and then like four games he'll be like you just said, he ain't. But now, let me say this. Let me ask you two more.
Mm-hmm.
Offensive line as a whole. I don't do individual offensive line. Offensive line as a whole.
Severely disappointing. They got a top 10 pick in there. They got some veteran guys in there. Their center is really suspect. I mean, they don't. This offense as a whole, nothing is above a C.
Right.
Nothing.
Wow.
Ranked 26th by.
Let me give you my take on the quarterback, and then you give me your take. I feel so bad for this kid who. When you are a top flight player in college who was surrounded by a lot of talent, he had more talent surrounded by him in college than he does now in the pros. And for you not to understand who he is, and I think they tried offensive line wise to help him, but like you said, they're just disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
But this kid, when I see him drop back and relax, he's nice. But man, I've seen him take some hits, Jesse. I've seen him hurried up and speeded up. And this kid, I just wish he had North Turner. I wish this kid had our old offensive coordinator, North Turner. And North would look at this offensive line, and it may not get much better, but it would be functional. And I think Coach Wright is his name.
Frank Wright.
Yeah, Coach Wright. It's trying, but it is not clicking. This team look, one minute they could, like four plays, they remind me of DJ Chalk. Four plays, they like, wow, wow, wow. Then like for 20 plays, this kid is getting just hammered.
And to your point, and Kurt, you put a great stat into from one of our listeners, Michael Moore, talking about with Carolina head coach now taking the head coaching duties back. Frank Wright had now taken back the play calling duties for the Carolina Panthers. And I agree with you, Nate. It's one of those things where they do Bryce Young a disservice. One, they don't have a good enough running game for a running quarterback.
Thank you.
And I know they try to bring in Hayden Hurst, but for a rookie quarterback who is small in stature, and to your point, one of the things I was thinking about when I was watching the film, I was like, boy, his calling card at Alabama was his mobility, his elusiveness, And then he had really good timing and slash accuracy. But that's easy when you're at Alabama.
Yeah.
It's easy when you're at Alabama and no one has the ability to hurry you, to rush you, to truly put pressure on you, you know, until you play the Georgias of the world. But there's only one Georgia.
Yeah. Right.
Right. So for the most part, you kind of had your way with how you wanted to operate in the pocket and how you wanted to operate and do things. And it's now in the league when you take all of that comfort of being surrounded by the best of the best. You see this kid, he looks hurried. There are moments in time where he looks like he's in control and they'll run the football and they'll kind of get some rhythm with it. Then all of a sudden they'll just let him pass the ball for 7 or 8 times. Yeah. And then it looks crazy again.
Yes.
There is a lack from the coaching staff, in my opinion. There is a lack of consistency in protecting this kid while he's learning the game. Yeah. We've fallen so far into the mix of these quarterbacks have to go and be ready right now. And because we are in a passing league, and because we always trying to keep up the score and try to do things, you're now, the tone is being set for this kid to do something that he has not developed enough to do. And then the plays that you have around him aren't explosive enough to do it.
Yeah.
And the offensive line aren't able to protect him at a rate that you want to throw the football. Yeah. So it just leaves this kid in a pretty bad hole because
was he seen as a running quarterback? Because I thought he was coming out, but looking at his stats, he has the same number of yards.
He's 131 rushing yards.
Yeah, same as Dak. So I was surprised that he wasn't running more, I guess.
The thing that I wish that And I don't know if Jesse said it or somebody said it, how stubborn coaches. Mm-hmm. It ain't about stubborn. Now, you're stupid. I'm serious. When you cannot, the only film you have as a coach on this kid is the SEC films. That's the way they played the better teams.
Right.
In the SEC. What made him successful against people of his talent are better? What made him successful? And for you not to go to that at all costs, I would not wreck my young number one pick quarterback. I would wreck my offensive line. Hey, y'all either going to run block better or y'all can just get beat up along with these two or three or four running backs. Mm-hmm. I mean, four running backs, two monstrous tight ends, and we going to protect this kid until we can get somebody outside to help him. That's the only way you do it. Because not to do it like that is what the Cowboys is finna do to these guys as soon as they get down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it sounds like, you know, we hear so much debate about Young and C.J. Stroud, the Texans quarterback, but it sounds like Stroud just got more talent around him. That's really the big difference there.
I think his coaching is better.
His coaching?
I think what D'Amico Ryan decided to do with C.J. Stroud is kind of bring him along. And then allow the defense to kind of, you know, hold the fort down and then protect him. And then as the season began to grow, you saw C.J. Stroud grow. I don't want to throw the entire playbook at him. I want to give him some of the playbook. And when I felt like he's owned that portion of the playbook, okay, we'll add a little bit more into him. Because there's, like, right now, when you pick number one or number two in the draft, the expectations, the reason why the expectations are so low, because you were, like Nate said, they had 12 noon games. You know why? Because they were a bad football team. Yeah, there wasn't much expectations put on that team. And the Panthers and the Texans, there's not much expectation put on them, but now you start to see C.J. Stroud exceed expectations and now growing a buzz and is playing a good brand of football. But this kid, it's about to get ugly for him. I'm going to be honest. Mm. I'm going to be honest. They can't keep up the score with the Cowboys. And if you get down too much, you then automatically put this kid in a one-dimensional type situation. And now they don't have the line. They don't have the athletes that are going to be able to keep up with what the Cowboys are going to be able to throw at them.
15 TDs, 2 interceptions, only been sacked 19 times. for the other, I'm talking about C.J. Stroud. The other kid, man, has been sacked 10 more times, 29. So, you know, just add two pressures on to each one of these sacks. You know, they pressured him at least two more times per sack. And this kid, I don't understand. Jesse, I wouldn't know how to handle this. Or Kurt, I wouldn't know how to handle this. But if I was a head coach, I would just tell my owner, I said, it's two ways, sir, we can handle this. You know, and I would go to my guy, general manager, and say, look here. And head of scouting, Will McClay. Will, let's go in here with a together game plan. We either draft and build a team from the inside out, offensively and defensively, and we'll find the quarterback when we find him. Or if we get this quarterback and we franchise and make this our number one pick, I'm talking about getting a number one or number two pick, we got to go into free agency and get every offensive lineman that's available. We have to do this. Because to do it any other way is a disaster for the franchise. Now, if they ruin this kid, if he get hit enough and get beat up enough, he's not going to recover. And, you know, people say, well, he's young. 80 sacks don't let you recover. 150 hits don't let you recover. Yeah. So just much like the kid in Chicago, is he getting better? He's not getting it.
It seemed like last year he was starting to make strides, but this year it's
progressed. Yes.
And to your point, Nate, I mean, they tried. You look at their right tackle, second round pick. They brought in Colbert. He was brought in from the Rams. Bozeman was brought in from Baltimore, the center. Chandler Zavila.
Right.
He was a fourth round pick, and then Ekwonu was a first round pick. And that's the thing. They failed you for the most part at protecting him. But you have to just say, you know what? If we're going to be bad, I'm going to run this ball so much because I want to protect that asset. Mm-hmm. And as he begins to grow, because you get a cat hit 80 times, you start getting you start getting one of the Carboys.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You
get shell shocked.
Yeah.
And this is a little dude. Bryce Young ain't no big. He's a 5'9", 5'10 dude. He's a little dude. And you're talking about getting hit consistently over and over and over again. You break him physically and you break him mentally because guys start having the yips and start thinking about, man, that next hit really might put me down or might put me out. So this football team right now as a unit is overall bad, and the Cowboys should do what we saw them do a week ago. We'll talk more about this game on the other side of this break. We'll go into Cowboys defensively. Micah Parsons was a little bit upset at the way things happened last week. Is this a get-back game for him? Will this Carolina offense try to throw the kitchen sink at the Cowboys? What should they be prepared for playing against a team that has nothing to lose and everything to gain with Frank Wright back at calling the plays? This is Hanging with the Boys. We'll be right back on the other side of this break. Stay here with us.
Fall is here, and that means football is back, bringing all the delicious game day foods with it. As you prep for all the big games, tailgates, and watch parties, let Yo Quiero be your one-stop destination for all things home gating. Yo Quiero's fresh, flavorful, ready-to-serve guacamole, made with real Hass avocados, will score taste bud touchdowns as you cheer on the Cowboys. Yo Quiero's wide range of mouth-watering and versatile products can be found in your local grocery store's produce or deli section. Grab some today.
Star Sports Tours is the only official fan travel partner of the Dallas Cowboys, offering exclusive game weekend travel packages with pregame sideline access and photo ops with current players, cheerleaders, and Cowboy legends. You want to stay at a team hotel, attend the best tailgate party in Texas, tour the Star, and talk X's and O's with me, Everson Walls? With Star Sports Tours, you can. Visit CowboysTravel.com to book your travel package today.
SeatGeek has your back, no matter what kind of Cowboys fan you are. So whether you're a diehard fan or a don't-really-care fan, a we-got-them-next-time fan or we'll-never-win-again fan, a here-for-the-tailgate fan or a first-one-through-the-gates fan, SeatGeek not only makes buying and selling tickets easier than ever before, they made just about everything else easier, too. So whether you're a here-every-week fan or haven't been here in years fan, SeatGeek has you covered. Download the SeatGeek app today. SeatGeek, your ticket to great Dallas Cowboys seats.
How's Wingstop sound? Crispy, juicy, classic wings. Made to order, cooked to perfection. And sauced and tossed in those 11 soul-satisfying flavors. Paired with hand-cut seasoned fries, house-made honey mustard, blue cheese, or signature Wingstop ranch. And, of course, spicy Cajun fried corn. I think you've heard enough. Get your flavor delivered at Wingstop.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Back to Hanging with the Boys.
Welcome back to Hanging with the Boys on this Thursday episode as we continue to break down Cowboys versus Panthers. Another one of the get right games of the week. It's very rare. I still scratch my head to see back to back games like this in the season, and of course you never know who's going to come out to be what. We thought the Giants were going to be. At least I did. Thought the Giants were going to be a better football team than what they were this year. And, you know, we knew that the Panthers weren't going to be good. But when you go back-to-back and you go, boy, preseason game number 4, and now you're walking into preseason game number 5. The Cowboys took care of business last week, putting up 49 points. They owe you 51 points still, Nate.
Yes, they do.
You wanted your 100. And you see them, you saw the areas where they got right. The running game seemed like it got going. The passing game, Brandon Cooks, it got going. The defense continued on its kind of tear. You 3 sack, 5 sack. What was it, 5 sacks?
Yeah.
From the Cowboys sack. Defense.
0 on their offense.
The one person who wasn't in the mix on the stat sheet at all was Micah Parsons. And there's been chirpings happening, whether it's in the building or social media, about maybe there's some frustration building there with Micah Parsons. And some of these games, you know, honestly, when you're blowing teams out, I mean, this is how many times have you seen a season where almost college-like, where guys are sitting out in the fourth quarter? Yeah. This is like two or three times this year the Cowboys have had fourth quarters where their starters have been relegated to ball caps and sunflower seeds. Yeah. That's really unheard of in a season to happen. Maybe once, but we're talking about two or three times this has happened for the Cowboys. And so
is that a good thing? Does that help you prepare you for the Eagles of the world? When you're just blowing guys out and resting in the fourth?
You know,
see, back in the day, we didn't have as many players or the practice squads or the practices wasn't. So when you played and you did all the practicing all week, you weren't coming out of the game. You know, and the money wasn't as large, so you was always on the stage trying to prove yourself. We weren't coming out of the game, so that was just the old school. Now, the new school, I'm quite sure if teams had the luxury of how we've had it, this has been a luxury. Yeah. Like you say, two or three times?
And honestly, I don't know, Kurt, if it's a good thing or a bad thing. I mean, I think it's a good thing because you're putting away a team that you're supposed to put away, right? You're not having to go down to the wire or play guys an extended amount of time because this team shouldn't be on the same field with you. I will say, in this particular instance, it may be a good thing because the Cowboys had guys that were able to rest in the fourth quarter, the entire fourth quarter last week. We're hoping that this week you have another group of guys that are rest for the entire fourth quarter because you're now facing that gauntlet of in your schedule where you're playing Sunday, Thursday.
Yeah.
So if you can find some way to get guys some rest, because those days and those nights are coming pretty quick in these next couple of weeks, and it has always been that way for the Cowboys. So the overall arching, I don't know. Right? Yeah. I don't know. You blowing guys out, cool, but I don't know. But in this instance, I think it's a good thing, because the legs of, you know, this, that, I know it's 15 minutes of actual time, yeah, but it's really like that could be another 20 to 25 plays, if not more, that a defensive player or offensive player has to play. And if those guys aren't doing it, that's less beating and bruising and wear and tear on the body that you can hope that will save their legs a little bit more going forward. But mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know. That's always going to be the question I think we ask from now on, yeah, is everything that we do.
I think it helps, excuse me, I think it helps my right tackle, and I think it helps Tony Pollard.
Guys that need a little boost.
Yeah.
The Mozzie Smiths of the world.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it helps them greatly. I help because anytime you're a big guy, you don't have to be out there on that turf pounding your feet into the ground. I think that helps. And I just want to see if Tony cannot play as much. You know, people are like, give him more. You know, a lot of people, give him more. No, give him less, but give him the right things. The mm-hmm. outside zone, like we talked about. The screen plays, which we don't run. Swing the ball out of the backfield. Get him in the open space, because I think Tony still got it. And I think now that we have found some type of success, and this is what bothers you the most, is, you know, we're excited. We see that the offensive line is starting to get some continuity. Things are moving, but I'm hoping they're moving in the right direction to face the big challenges. It does us no good to pound these teams that we're supposed to beat and find continuity only when the struggle comes against Seattle. Because I'm not giving Washington no love until they show me, you know. Mm-hmm. So to not have the struggle, and what I mean by that, not handle the struggle. Okay, are we going to run the ball them same 30 times? And yes, we may come out 3.9, but we run it that 30 times for 120 yards, ugly yards, tough yards, using both backs. And we come up with the big play with CD over the top to win the game. But we've ran that ball with enough conviction that we kept them at bay. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's what I'm talking about. Now I'm saying, okay, this is our fifth game we've won in a row. Or this is our fourth game we've won in a row. Now when Philly come, now you can compete. Now you really can compete. Now when you go in there, you know you've played a team that got you right. See, I'm loving that we're playing Seattle first. And I got that correct. We're playing Seattle first.
Yeah.
And now a physical team, a well-coached team, a team that will be over 500, a rat on 500, but they are physical and they are well-coached. So when we go to Philly, you know, now, oh, when Philly come to us, come on. It's time to ball, man, because your confidence is so great. And you've been through enough adversity as a team together, and you've handled it right. That's why I keep saying win, win, win. Fight through the adversity. This is – I don't want to dog Carolina, because I like – the only reason I'm not going to dog Carolina is because I like the quarterback. And I think he's getting treated unfairly, you know, but that's the nature of the beast. But if Bryce don't play, we should just – beat the.
Then you'll get Andy Dalton.
Andy Dalton, watch out.
You'll get Andy Dalton.
But Andy ain't gonna hold that ball. If I'm Andy, I don't see this enough. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, for the Cowboys, it looks like, again, and I brought it up before we went to the break about a guy like Micah, who,
yeah,
I think this might be another one of those games where Micah are coming out with bad intentions. He wants to come out and prove something.
Right.
And I don't mind a player having a little bit of a
hedge there.
I don't mind it.
Yeah.
I don't mind it as long as you're disciplined in what you're doing. I don't mind you wanting to have the edge. But again, and Nate, you were making the point about this the other day. Don't don't allow what you want to do to override what the coach is asking you to do for the betterment of the team.
Right.
Yeah.
This is that fundamental selfish. This is that fundamental balance of what do I want for me personally and what you're asking me to do as a whole for the team. Because sometimes what is being asked of you may not always feel like what's best for you. And that sometimes can be, and nothing against Micah. He's a super competitive kid, still young, still trying to figure out and understand the game. And he gets sometimes you can get into these moments where things are happening and they're happening in succession and you're not a part of it. You're not a part of the face of it. But when you click on the film, you go, oh, okay, cool. Fowler was able to get this sack because two people went to you. Mm-hmm. So-and-so was able to get this sack because the way that you closed down that edge or the way that you did this or that ball had to, you know, bounce back the other way and was tackled for a loss because you filled the hole. It's you don't get the glory of it, right? Because, you know, it reminds me when you play the L5 and the R5 and on kickoff, you don't get much glory. You don't get glory. Literally, your job is to be the first one down there to smash the wedge and to make the ball bounce. And who knows who gets the glory? R3, L3, R4, L4. They get to make the tackles.
Yeah.
Right? And they get to get up and the crowd cheers and everybody's happy. And especially in coach know, they were able to do their job because you hit the wedge the way it was supposed to be hit. You ain't going to get the glory and you're going to get the headache. But for the betterment of the team, it all worked out for the greater good.
Yeah.
And that's what kind of Micah kind of has to get sometimes. He has to understand that.
Have you ever been in situations, because I know you played that L5 and all, didn't you, during your career on special teams?
Mm-hmm.
Did you get into situations where you were like, man, at least come film day, coach is going to see me and I'm going to do good, and then they just blow right through?
Yeah, it happens. It happens, but I will always think if I got a job. If I do a job right, I get a job. So, all right, let's take our final break of the show. When we come back, man, we're going to put a bow on this Cowboys-Panthers matchup this weekend, add a little thing that we may have, add some stats, add some facts. Maybe we have a question or two from one of our loyal listeners. You can check that, Kurt, in the break. Stop. Yeah, let's go to the break. This is with the boys. We'll be right back.
I'm Dak Prescott, quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys.
And they snap it to Prescott, who looks right. It's not there. He escapes left. He'll run for a first down.
Just like football, when it comes to crypto, it's important to have a team you can trust. With blockchain.com, I know I'm in good hands. Since 2011, they've been trusted by millions around the world to buy, sell, and trade cryptocurrency.
Prescott's going to run this himself. Run it up the middle, and he scores.
Whether you're new to crypto or an active trader, they've got you covered. What are you waiting for? Get started at blockchain.com.
How's Wingstop sound? Crispy, juicy, classic wings. Made to order, cooked to perfection, and sauced and tossed in those 11 soul-satisfying flavors. Paired with hand-cut seasoned fries, house-made honey mustard, blue cheese, or signature Wingstop ranch. And, of course, spicy Cajun fried corn. I think you've heard enough. Get your flavor delivered at Wingstop.com.
SeatGeek has your back no matter what kind of Cowboys fan you are. So whether you're a diehard fan or a don't-really-care fan, a we-got-them-next-time fan or we'll-never-win-again fan, a here-for-the-tailgate fan or a first-one-through-the-gates fan, SeatGeek not only makes buying and selling tickets easier than ever before, they made just about everything else easier, too. So whether you're a here-every-week fan or haven't been here in years fan, SeatGeek has you covered. Download the SeatGeek app today. SeatGeek, your ticket to great Dallas Cowboys seats.
James Wright here, your 2022 Dallas Cowboys fan of the year. You know how much I love my Cowboys, and I am thrilled to be talking to you about the 2023 Fan of the Year Award presented by Captain Morgan. We're looking for the ultimate Cowboys fan to spice up the game. That means you eat, sleep, and breathe the Dallas Cowboys. If that's you, or if you know someone like me, then go to dallascowboys.com/fanoftheyear and you could win tickets to Super Bowl 58 and so much more. Enter today.
Welcome back to Hanging with the Boys. We don't have Shannon today, but that's okay. We got Kurt. We got Nate. We got Chris Beam in the back. That last segment was brought to you by Blockchain, blockchain.com. This segment is brought to you by Jigsaw, the official dating app of the Dallas Cowboys.
Dating app, baby.
Jigsaw.
Jigsaw.
You can't miss their truck. They got the Jigsaw truck out there.
You popping Jesse's spot, Mr. Jigsaw.
They did one time. They did. They was in a spot. I couldn't find a parking spot. But hey, they
pay the bills.
They pay the bills. So yeah. I found somewhere else to park. I park underneath. Cowboys, Carolina Panthers. This is, for all intents and purposes, this is preseason game number 5. The Cowboys.
Preseason game number five.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Or 6 after 6, last week. Yeah.
Well, this is no. We had 3 preseason games, right? Yeah. We had 3 preseason games. Yeah. So that was last week was 4. This week is 5.
Okay. Well, when the New York Giants first time, you right?
this might be okay, 6. Yeah, this is yeah.
Near the Jets. Yeah, we done had like 7-8 preseason.
It's been a lot. There's been a lot. But wow, you know, in these opportunities, I thought Mike McCarthy did some good things last weekend, saying, you know what, here's an opportunity for us to get better in a certain area. And we saw the running game kind of get going. We saw Brandon Cooks kind of get going. Kurt, is there an area that you can look at offensively, defensively, special teams, that you can say, you know what, I kind of want to see the Cowboys can work on this a little bit in this preseason game number 5?
Well, it's probably the easy choice, but the running game, you know, I'd like to see more Dowdle and not take the place of Pollard, but just more balance. You know, right now I think it's like 75%, 25% plays, you know, snaps. I would like to see that a little bit more even. Like, it seems like, you know, last year was pound Zeke up the middle, first down, pound up the second down, take him off the field. Here comes Pollard for the sweep around the edge. Well, now you're seeing Pollard get those banging his head up the middle, and here comes Dowdle for the, you know. I would like to see a little bit more balance in how they use those two guys.
Nate, same question to you.
I would like for us to, like we were fortunate enough to have man-to-man coverage for Cook last week, and we saw them prosper. I would like to see our tight ends block better and our tackles block better to get Tony to the outside. Because you're looking at a guy who ain't never was a lead back, and you literally taking him like Zeke and running him straight up the middle, and they don't understand. It's a knack to that. It's a knack to that. Zeke has been, this is what, Zeke 9th year in the league?
Yeah.
So like how do you last that long doing what Zeke did? Tony is not going to last that long doing that. No. And so I would like to see Tony here next year, and I'd like to see Rico Dowdle here. And – just change it up a little bit.
Slim chance on one of those.
Yeah.
I just feel that way.
Why you say that? Tony, I'm telling you, I love you, man. Take your four mil. And that's what's incentives. Because that's what it's going to be.
I ain't getting $10 million, that's don't for sure.
See, this is what bothers me. And I'm regressing. I sat here last year and say, tell Zeke. Y'all heard me say, Zeke, we love you. Here's your $3 mil, bruh. Zeke, here's your $3 mil.
They didn't even offer him $3 mil, though.
But that's
they didn't
what
even
I'm
offer
saying.
Him anything.
But that's what I'm saying. Don't do that. If you got a guy that helps your team win, you give him, hey, man, go $3 mil. And you ain't got to even take it now. I tell you what we're going to do. Go out there, and if you get better, leave us. But right now, we got you for $3 mil. And this $3 mil ain't going nowhere. Don't fool Tony. Ain't nobody giving Tony more than 3.5 next year. Nobody. And I ain't putting my hat on it, and I ain't betting nothing, because there's always an idiot out there. So, but I'm serious, Jess. I'm serious, Kurt. Tony, here's your three. You'll make 3.5 on average. Here you go, Tony. Money's sitting here. Going out there and let them fool you.
You think it was a mistake looking back to franchise him for that 10?
I don't have a problem with it, but I think the mistake was made when you misused him. Mm-hmm. This kid should have had never more than 22 touches, and I kept thinking 8 of those or 9 of those was going to be passes out of the backfield or some type of draw play or some type of outside zone. They ran this kid. Let me tell you how bad it is, what really turned me off. We said that the Eagles was only giving up 65 yards rushing. Our first two plays of the game was where? Turn around and hand it to Tony right up the middle. I'm saying, this ain't right. Coach McCarthy, I love him. Freaky Mike, as he's named him. But I'm like, Coach, what? No, you didn't. I know you watched the film. But we know what Tony can do out here. We know what he can do catching the ball. Don't miss you. They're misusing him. Yeah. And that's just my belief, Jess.
I think for me, defensively, I'm going to go on the defensive side. This team plays a ton of man coverage. And I just feel like this is a moment in time to work some zone. Get some zone working in, because I look at, do I think Deron Bland can stand up man-to-man with some of the best in the league? Sure. Down for down, he'll give up some. I know for sure that Stephon Gilmore cannot run. I just
You see it, man.
He can't.
If you got eyes, you can see it.
He can't. And so when we keep talking about, these games, it don't matter because there's never a threat. There's never a big enough threat that's going to be put in front of you that's going to say, oh, boy, we have to score every single time we get the ball now because they will. You don't have that with this team. If Carolina scores 10 points, that's probably 9 points too many. Right? It really is.
He's speaking truth.
But it's when you – because we're talking about the same thing. We're talking about you say Seattle and then right. Philly. I think Washington will be more of a formidable opponent when we see them. I just think I like what Bieniemy is doing with that offense, and they're going to get up to play the Cowboys. But when you go and play Seattle and you have to go and play Philadelphia again, you got to go and play Miami again. And if somehow, some way Buffalo figures it out, you got to go and play Buffalo with those wide receivers
in
up
the
there.
Cold.
In the cold, you're going to have to be able to mix this thing up a little bit. You can't play man-to-man. You know, we didn't get killed by A.J. Brown last game, but this is another guy who I don't want to have to deal man-to-man. I don't want to have to deal with Devontae Smith man-to-man. I think maybe we can use these opportunities to work some more zone schemes, work some more of our pressure looks, work on some of those things. Work on some of those things that you can now get on film as a coach, because I do believe when coaches see it on film, it makes them feel better about calling it or not calling it, because we've seen it in a live situation that wasn't scripted on the practice field, that this was – what we saw was what was a realistic look, a realistic reaction to our action. And so I think Dan Quinn can kind of work some of those things, maybe even work some of those other guys who may not even be getting a lot of reps in, because you may need them. This is a weird, weird game. And as you get down the stretch, the last thing you want is a guy to have to come in against, Detroit the last game of the season or the first playoff game, and he ain't sniffed the field all year. I know why he didn't sniff the field all year, but in these moments, in these blowout moments, start working some of those things in there when you're up 14, 21, 28 points in the game. That'll give you an opportunity to have something on film that you can work off and say, okay, he can do this, he can do that, we can do this, we can do that. And that may be, that may be necessary at some point in time during the season.
Yeah. So that was computer calling?
That wasn't computer.
Okay.
That wasn't computer calling. Stop, man. This guy, it's just dangerous sitting next to this guy, man.
I love you, though, dog.
What are you doing, man?
I love it, man. You allow me to have fun. I promise you.
But, anything else that we can add to this? Want to talk about to this? I mean, this is...
Well, you talked about getting right, fixing these things. And you mentioned real quickly the pressure in there. I was kind of surprised that the Cowboys are, 20th in pressures and 14th or something in sacks. And we talk about this being such a great front line, great rushing front line. Is that good enough for where this defense wants to be? I mean, you take away the two Giants games, 26 of their... 12 of their 26 sacks were against the Giants. Everybody else, it's 14,
Yeah.
I would like to believe that everything is a build-up. And we're in the meat of the schedule now. You're in the meat of the schedule, whether the teams you're playing are good or not. You're in that grind part of the thing. And what that'll go to about game 14, Jess, and then you start figuring out who's going to be where the next 2 or 3 weeks. So now you're in the grind. Coaches are saying, what can we do better? Not so much to get their stats up. Players are probably doing that. But coaches are saying, what can we tweak here, tweak there to get this team better, to sew up this right here? So, because a lot of times if teams have an idea that you are a threat at something, they'll kind of stay away from it. That don't mean that they won't challenge you here and there to see if you for real, but they'll kind of stay away from it. The Cowboys have been fortunate to be able to not give up so many yards rushing. So now the threat, a lot of quarterbacks get nervous because they're like, uh-oh, we can't run the ball. And so they see Michael Parsons flash on them, or they see Sam Williams flash on you. They ain't necessarily got to get there. It gives them a bad reaction. Yeah. And that's what I'm fearing for this guy, Bryce Young. He going to get a bad reaction. You know what I'm saying? I hope he don't break out. What you think, he'll break out?
If he breaks out, he's going to break out in hives. he's going to break out in the sack hives because they're going to be out there right there, man. Yeah. All right, that's it for us. I don't know if Shannon will be back tomorrow, but if not, God willing, I'll be here. Yeah. You'll be here. We appreciate you. Kurt, you'll be here. Chris, right. You'll be here. God willing. And all of you.
The lady with the green hair, Jazz.
Jazz. Yes. So shout out to Chris for keeping us on there. Jazz. Who else is back there? Josh.
Bro Josh. Will.
Brother Bro Will, yeah.
Willie. Who else we got? I don't know. Yeah. Just thank you all. We appreciate you all, man. Have a blessed day. We'll see you mananya tomorrow.
Okay, Lord. This is hanging. I thought it was Monday. We're going to be back to Monday? When you said mañana, y'all like Monday? What?
This is Hanging with the Boys. We out.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club. How about this, Cowboys?